Hi, this is Katinka von Deichmann, and you're listening to Functional Tennis Podcast.
Welcome to episode 11 of the Functional Tennis Podcast. This week, we speak to Katinka von Deichmann. Katinka is the first Liechtensteiner to make Grand Slam appearance. She tells us all about that journey, and she shares with us her overall positivity, which is amazing and will guarantee her success in the future. As usual, if you're new to the Functional Tennis Podcast, please hit subscribe button. And if any friends or family who may be interested in tennis and our podcast, please share this podcast with them. Thank you. And let's hear Katinka's story. Hi, Katinka. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thanks.
Welcome to the Functional Tennis Podcast. Where about the world are you today?
I'm in Braunschweig in Germany at the moment, playing a tournament here.
What tournament are you playing?
I'm playing a $25,000 tournament, an ITF tournament.
Okay, so big. Have you played yet?
No, it starts tomorrow or the day after tomorrow.
Is it on clay?
Yeah, it's still on clay, yeah.
Great. So we're just going to talk a bit about you, a bit about your history, a bit about your junior career, a bit about being the first Liechtensteiner to play in a Grand Slam, which is an amazing achievement. So tell us, where did tennis start for you?
Well, it's all started in Liechtenstein, actually. I started with 6 years old, and I was practicing for 11 years in Liechtenstein. And so until I was 17, and I practiced there, and I learned everything in Liechtenstein.
So Liechtenstein is the sixth smallest country in the world, I read. How many, is there many tennis players over there?
No, actually at the moment I'm the only one. We have a younger girl. She's just started playing on the circuit. But with the ranking and everything at the moment, I'm the only one. There was another girl before me, Steffi Vogt. She was also quite good. She was, I don't know, highest ranking, I think 137 or something. It's her and me, but now I'm the only one who's still playing. It's a very, very tiny country. Not many people are living there. But actually, we have great facilities there. Like, tennis facilities are great there.
Tell me, what are they like?
Yeah, most of them are in the forest, actually, which is quite nice. They're big. We have a lot of courts. They're super quiet. And, I mean, actually, we have everything there.
Is it quite cold there in the winter?
Yeah, there is snow and 0 degrees. So it's quite cold in winter. And in summer, it's hot. So we have every temperature there.
Are the indoor centers or mainly outdoor?
No, we actually have also many indoor clubs, but they're all on carpet, which is a little bit difficult because all the indoor tournaments are on hard court. But they want to build a hard court facility indoors, so I hope they're going to do it. Would be good for me.
Do you go back often?
Not so often, because now I'm practicing in Munich since 1.5 years at an academy there in Oberhaching. So I'm not quite often in Liechtenstein anymore.
There's probably not many people to practice with, is there?
No, that's the problem why I'm, or that's the reason why I'm not practicing there, because there are not many people and not many coaches. And yeah, it's quite difficult there.
And so you're training in Germany now, so that's your main base?
Yes, exactly.
Do we know anybody who you train with in Germany?
Yes, I guess so, because they're not all of the German boys, but many of the German boys playing there. I'm the only girl at that academy. And Yannick Hanfmann is practicing there, Matthias Bachinger, Kohlschreiber used to practice there, Maxi Mata is practicing there. So many, many of the German guys are practicing there.
It's a good environment for you.
Yeah, definitely. I'm super happy, and they have a super cool team there. I have my own coach there. So it's perfect.
As a junior, did you play many ITF tournaments?
I did, but I started quite late, I would say. I started with, I don't know, 15 and a half, I started to play juniors. I went up in the ranking quite fast. So I only played 1 year full, and I already was top 100. So I played the second year, all the Grand Slams already. And then I was 18, and then I finished it. But I was playing full juniors, I would say, when I was 16, 17, and I got the ranking, then I only played the 4 Grand Slams at that time. I was playing not a long time, but when I was playing full.
You're playing the best tournaments. When did you decide to go full on pro? Was it just straight after the juniors? Was there any thoughts of college?
Yeah, it was straight after juniors. And I was clear from the beginning that I'm going to start right after. Actually, right after the US Open of the juniors, I was 18. I started right after with the ITF Women's Tour. And there was never a thought with combined school or something.
Your parents didn't say, you got to go to college. Education is more important. You're crazy.
Well, for sure they said it, but they also said, if that is what I want to do and what I love to do, go for it. But for sure, they would be happy if I would do the school as well. But they really were behind me also with that step I made.
And tell me, do you get much support from Liechtenstein at the moment?
I do get a lot of support, of course. I mean, people are super, super happy when I do great. People are sad when I'm not doing great. So I do get a lot of support. But yeah, I mean, it's so small and everything. So, and I'm not in the TV yet. So yeah, it's difficult for them, I think, to see how much it needs to be there and how much it needs to be top 100 and stuff. And so it's difficult for them, I think, to have a picture of what I'm doing. But for sure, they are supporting me a lot and they try everything that I'm going to be good one day.
I did discuss this with an Irish coach a few weeks ago, and Ireland has no top 100 players, and it's a country, if they did get one, I think people would really get behind them. But it's that you sort of have to break through before the people get behind you. So you need to be playing Grand Slams, every Grand Slam, winning two or three matches, and then all of a sudden the country. So it's a bit of a chicken and egg, which comes first? But I think the results in this case have to come first. Last year, you became the first Liechtensteiner, which is a cool word, by the way, to play in a main draw Grand Slam. What was that feeling like?
Yeah, I mean, it was the best feeling ever. I mean, I was so happy to achieve that. And yeah, I mean, after the last qualifying round there, I mean, I was the happiest kid on this planet, I think. Yeah, especially doing this as the first person from Liechtenstein is something even bigger. So yeah, I mean, I was super happy about everything there.
And tell me, what was it like, match point, third round of qualies? Were you feeling the pressure?
Of course, it started already. I cannot remember exactly what score it was. I think I was up 4-2 or something, or 4-1. And already at that changeover, I was like, I started to get super tired and nervous. I was like, just put this freaking ball in the court. And then the last game, my opponent was serving. Thanks God for that. And she was serving. And I was like, every point, I was like, just put this ball somehow in the court. I was getting so nervous. But somehow I managed really, really well. And I did quite good points. And then, yeah, of course, the match point. I mean, I had a heart rate, I don't know, 200 maybe.
Yeah.
And I did a great job. And yeah, I was, after that, I was like so super happy and screaming out loud. And yeah, that was an unbelievable moment.
Did you have a team with you? Have a coach with you? Was there anybody else with you?
Yeah, we were actually a big team because the guys were also playing qualifying. So we had two or three coaches there from the academy, and all the guys were sitting there and some friends of them. So there was, there were actually like, I don't know, 8-9 guys sitting in my corner and supporting me. That was really, really cool and helped me actually also a lot. And yeah, and the good thing was also there, because there was this this coaching, they were allowed to coach during the points. Okay. And stuff, so I was allowed to go to the coach. So that was also helping me a lot at crucial moments, I have to say.
It made.
So that was a good thing.
Tell us, what sort of things? The first time I've talked to a WTA player about this, actually, what did the coach say to you?
There we were able to talk between every point. So I went to him in the second set when it was getting to the end, the match. He saw from far that I was like super nervous. And he said, just enjoy now and go full. Whatever happens, happens. And he said, just enjoy and go full as hard as you can. And I said, yeah. And then he was actually joking a little bit with me and doing some, said some funny things. I cannot remember exactly. I just remember that I was laughing so much. And I think it helped me a lot. It helped me really a lot, that coaching. Yeah, so I was glad we had that opportunity there.
That's good that him joking actually takes a bit of pressure off you.
Yeah.
But do you think it's also easier? Yes. If you're winning, you have a bit of a margin when you don't have to serve it out. It's easier to break serve sometimes. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. I don't know, maybe the boys think they're different because, I mean, the serves of the boys are huge. But for me at that moment, it was much better that my opponent was serving, definitely.
And what was it the most nervous you've ever been in a match?
Oh, yeah, I guess it was there. I guess it was that third round qualies at the US Open. That was for sure the most nervous. nervous match ahead.
You had a day or two off, your first round match. Tell us, it didn't end so well, the first round match. So you go in, you're really happy, excited, probably nervous. And then tough three sets, was it?
So I had 2 days in between, so Saturday and Sunday, the weekend. And I was super tired there already. It took so much energy of me, the qualifying. And all the emotions and everything and all these new things coming to me. And it took a lot of energy. So I couldn't rest good over the weekend there. And I was not practicing on Saturday. I was hitting some balls on Sunday. But yeah, I was super tired there. I don't know. I couldn't calm down. And then I had my first round main draw on Monday. Yeah, it was super hot that day and humid. We had like over, I think like 35 degrees and super humid. And many players, they already were cramping and stuff. And yeah, and I had a tough third set match and against another qualifying girl. And yeah, and unfortunately, it didn't end so well.
Maybe you went down the beer after qualifying. Is that what happened?
Well, for sure, a little bit also, yeah. But yeah, and I mean, also the first round main draw, I mean, I was super nervous again, super tight. And for sure, that was also a reason why I was cramping in the end and all these emotions. And I couldn't handle it so good, I have to say, I have to be honest. And yeah, for sure, the heat and this tightness was not the best thing at that moment.
I'm sure it's all a learning experience. So next time you'll be better prepared mentally and physically.
I hope so.
Join over 10,000 people who have downloaded our free match and practice PDFs over at functionaltennis.com/downloads. Our match and practice PDFs help you plan and evaluate your matches and practices. We have some other free downloads there for you too. So make sure you go over to functionaltennis.com/downloads. What's changed since the US Open? It's a year now since that achievement of breaking through, getting into the main draw. How's the last year been for you?
Actually, now the last year was the toughest year I had after that, I have to say. I was injured after the US Open, like 1 month after, for 3-4 months. And then I started to play again, the Australian Open, and two other tournaments. And then I had a different injury. So all in all, I was like almost 7 months out, and that was really tough. And then I came back and I was feeling good. I was super fit. And yeah, I lost some really, really tough matches. I had like twice match point in two matches and really unlucky matches. I lost a lot of times in three sets. And yeah, and then of course I lost a lot of points. So it was really, really tough last year, last few months. Yeah, I would say it was the toughest year I had.
God, you go from having the best results, the really big highs and lows there. What's the plan moving forward now?
Because I lost all my points, I lost my ranking a little bit. So I'm not able to play at the Grand Slam qualifying at the moment because I'm around 280. So I dropped from 150 to 280, which is, yeah, some points it was like super hard. And I was like, yeah, I had many thoughts in my head. And of course, I was also sad sometimes because I was like, oh my God, I was like, I had such a great year last year. Now this is such a bad year. But I'm saying to myself, it's all good because I'm playing super good tennis at the moment. I'm feeling great on the court, actually. But the results are not going my way at the moment. But I'm super calm and I'm having great support around me with my family and my coaches and everything. So I'm super calm and I'm just trying to work as hard as I can. And I'm pretty sure if I keep up like how I'm playing at the moment, how I'm feeling on the court, the results will come. Either they come this week or in 3 months. At the moment, I don't care anymore. I just want to enjoy myself on court and doing my best. And I'm 100% sure the results will come also.
You trust the process?
Definitely, yeah.
Great. Well, that's good to hear because that's so important. That's what we spoke a lot about in the previous episodes. It's about trusting the process, not worrying about rankings, because once you trust the process, the ranking will happen eventually at some stage before you know it. Are you traveling with a coach every week now?
Yeah, I'm traveling always with a coach, yeah.
What are the challenges do you face as like you don't have the luxury of, let's say, being main draw all the WTA events yet? What are your main challenges from week to week?
Now, with my ranking, I'm not almost not even able to play a main draw in a 80,000 tournament. So things changed a little bit. So I need to stay there with my head and really try to relax a little bit. Because if I start to think about everything and have bad thoughts, it's not working out well. So now the challenges for sure are suffering a little bit, because for every player, the goal is to play the good and high tournaments. That's clear. And now going back to the little bit smaller tournaments, that's tough, but I mean, that's part of it. Then you have to make it through. And I think very important is to have a positive mindset all the time, which I have. So I don't care which tournament I play at the moment. I just really try, as I said, to enjoy myself on the court. I try to don't think too much, because that's killing me. So I'm here, I'm playing the tournament. It's beautiful weather. So I try to win the tournament, of course, always. And so I'm not thinking about the struggles anymore, because that's not helping me at all.
You have a very positive outset, which is great. You're very positive, I can tell from this quick chat. And sponsors, are you okay? Use Wilson Rackets? Do they take care of you? Do they give you any financial help, your racket and clothing sponsors?
No, only the equipment, no financial side there, but that's also a big part of the tour, the money. And I'm at the moment quite lucky that I have really nice sponsors, and they're really behind me. And also the Liechtenstein Olympic Federation is helping me out a lot. I'm at the moment pretty lucky. It's always on the edge, the money. That's clear, but I think I will make it through the year, but it's hard, you know. I mean, you have to ask the people, and you have to go there and say, hey, you have some money for me, because I need some money. It's always not the nice part of it, but we have to do it, because otherwise I have no chance to survive. I'm lucky that I found some really, really good people who are helping me, and at the moment it's fine, but of course, I mean, I'm glad if I can go out of the year even with my money. So it's always a struggle, that part of the side.
Yeah, you seem to handle it pretty well, because I know some people, they'll just moan about the struggle. I'm sure you see it all the time. It's just money, always problems, but you seem to just get on with it. And it's great if you do have a federation or your Olympic committee that can help you out. That makes a big difference. But what are the costs for a pro player? We haven't really broken it down yet with any players, but like for a player ranked, let's say from 100 to 250, what are your general costs like? What are your biggest costs?
For sure, the training, the coach. I mean, that's clear. That's my biggest cost. So I'm always having my coach with me on tournaments. So I'm fortunate there, but of course it costs more money. That's clear. So that part is for sure the most expensive. And I would say, in total, in a whole year, I for sure spent $120,000. That's what I had all my other years also, actually. And now the big difference is, now if you have a year like this, I mean, the big prize money is not there yet. It's quite difficult, but I would say around 100,000.
And you pay for their travel, their food, their accommodation. You fully support your coach. That's the way it works, isn't it?
I did a good arrangement, I think, with the academy, because I pay per month something, and it's all included in that money. So the coach is paid from the academy, the hotel and the food and stuff. So that's, I think, a really good agreement we made there. So I'm paying per month. Also, I'm not having to look out for him about that. So that's pretty good.
Well, that's great. I didn't know places work like that. I knew it was the other way around.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. Actually, before I came there, I was also always paying the hotel and food and stuff for the coach. So this is actually pretty cool thing.
It is. If you're making first round of every Grand Slam, you've 200K, roughly 200K, and that's all your expenses paid for. Tell me, if you were earning more money on the tour, what would be the next thing you'd spend money on?
I mean, I wouldn't do anything different, that's clear, but invest a little bit more in a physiotherapist. I think that's super, super important. I always say, somebody asks me what I would love to have with me, I always say, oh my God, a physiotherapist would be awesome. That's really something. Oh, to have your own physio and having massage whenever you want, that must be, such a great feeling. That's for sure an investment worth it, for sure.
And so you'd pick a physio over a fitness trainer?
I would say yes, because on a tournament, you're not doing so much fitness. I mean, the fitness part is when you're home, when you're really having a a practice week. So I would, for me, I would take a physio over a fitness coach, yeah, on tournament.
What about a physio who is a fitness coach also? That's probably the...
I mean, that's jackpot, I would say. So, I mean, that would be for sure the best solution.
Yeah, there must be a few out there. Another question, how do you deal with food on the road? You know, when you're at home training, you can really prepare your food. You have your favorite foods, your important food. How do you prepare? I know some, I've been at the Grand Slams. I've seen what the food's like. It's amazing. I haven't done too many challengers or the lower events. Is that an issue for you, or you just eat anything, or you go out of your way to try and find the food which works for you?
I'm super easy with the food, I have to say. So I'm lucky about that. I have not a special diet or something. I just try really to eat healthy. That's for me the most important, just eat healthy and normal. So I find stuff, but sometimes I have to say on the challengers, I have to say sometimes you find really bad food. At the club, sometimes it's horrible. So that's really tough sometimes. But yeah, dinner, I would say it's easier because you can go to the city or whatever. But sometimes if you have no other choice, you have to eat this, I don't know, not al dente pasta. And yeah, it's sometimes it's hard, but I'm lucky that I'm quite flexible and I have no special diet or whatever. So I can find a good food almost everywhere.
What's your favorite food that you shouldn't be eating? Do you have one cheat meal? What's the one cheat meal you go for?
Well, you can give me everything, actually. You can give me, I don't know, cake, chocolate, candies, chips, popcorn. You can give me everything, really. I love everything. So whatever you want, you can bring to me. Every cheat food, I eat everything.
And final question, beer or wine?
Actually, nothing. I really don't like beer, no beer or wine or alcohol in general. I don't know. It has nothing to do with that I'm a professional athlete, but I just really don't like it. I mean, I have to drink beer with a lot of lemon inside, then I'm able to drink it. It has to be very sweet, everything. So,
That's okay.
I'm not that sugar.
Sugar, just sugar. Sweet, yeah. Lemonade.
I cannot drink it.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Oh, that was an amazing chat. Katinka, we're going to follow your progress over the next few weeks. Hopefully the ranking gets back up there and we will see you back at the Aussie Open.
Yeah, I try my best.
Back kicking some ass at the Aussie Open. And yeah, great. So thank you very much for that. Thanks for taking the time. Best of luck this week. I hope you get the trophy.
Yes, for sure.
And thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I hope you found Katinka's story very interesting. I certainly did. I loved her positivity and the way she thinks about the game and the future of her game. I also loved the way she talked about the financial side of tennis. And hopefully in the future, we'll speak to more players about this and the cost that they incur being a pro player. As usual, if you're new, please hit subscribe button and also please share it with your friends and family. And until next week, goodbye.